Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's nice to be here with you this morning, and do trust that God will bless us as we look at His Word, the Bible. But we're going to read from it first, and then we're going to discuss what it says. So let's just read from it together, shall we? And we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. Such a well-known passage of scripture. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren in her sixth month is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left him. Let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for the opportunity of coming here today. And we thank you, Lord, for gathering in your name. And we know that the Lord Jesus that we've just been speaking about or reading about is here with us this morning. You are here with us this morning, dear Lord, in the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we look forward to what you're going to say to us, to our hearts, not just to our heads, but to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've got to be quick this morning, apparently, and so I'm going to do my best. I find it difficult to be quick, but I'll tell less stories. That's a good start. Okay, but I've got one story to start off with. I can't resist. And I was watching a program on TV about Central America and a particular country, Guatemala, which I've never been to before. But it was actually, as I watched this program, it was quite a long time ago now, it was a horrific program because it was all about the gangs and that were rampant in this particular city, and how that at least one, if not two, young ladies were murdered every night, and seldom prosecuted for fear of reprisals. And while investigating this horror, the journalist also commented that at the time that he was there doing the investigation, they were having a special festival taking place, and the festival was to venerate, as they put it, or to worship Mary and the mother of the Lord Jesus. And a huge gold statue was pushed around the streets, and everyone was bowing down and worshipping Mary. And obviously he mentioned this for the same reason that I thought, well, isn't that extraordinary contradiction? And on the one hand they're worshipping Mary, but on the other hand they're killing young ladies every night, probably a similar age to what Mary was at the time that the angel of the Lord came to her. How terrible that was. And from a very young age, having grown up in a very, very nonconformist Protestant background kind of idea, I was informed very clearly that we don't worship Mary. She's not part of the Godhead, and there's no good praying to her, anything like that. And I find it quite sad that lots of people prayed to Mary and prayed to saints and all kinds of things who can't answer their prayers. There's nothing in the Word of God that says that he can. And we know that that's the truth. But however, thinking about it, I thought to myself that because of that kind of teaching, that we're not meant to sort of venerate or worship Mary, because that is the case, there is a sense in which us Protestants have neglected Mary to a certain extent. Have you ever thought about that? We often look up to people like Paul and Peter and John and Philip and Stephen and so on, but Mary, other than at Christmas, we don't say much about her, do we? But Mary was an extraordinary woman, mightily used by God. She really was an extraordinary woman. The reason why God was able to use her in this extraordinary way is found in Mary's reply to God's messenger in verse 38, when she said, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said." Just like that. Simple. And Mary's answer shows complete submission to the will of God. Now I want you to realize that at the time that this extraordinary event took place, she was probably about 16, apparently. And I want you for a moment just to think about some of the 16-year-olds that you know, some teenagers and so on, and then compare it to what we've been talking about. Or compare them to, I know there's some wonderful 16-year-olds, I'm not being rude about the 16-year-olds, but a lot of teenagers around that age, they're not that responsible. And is that the case? And some are, but for God to have chosen her to mother Jesus, his son, she must have had some wonderful spiritual qualities. And the angel Gabriel said to her in verse 28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Why was she highly favored? Strange, isn't it? And just look how Elizabeth, her cousin, speaks to her in verse 42 and 43. It says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored?" Now here's her older cousin speaking, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me." And she was honored by the fact that this young lady had come to her, who was her cousin. And Mary herself says in verse 48, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And it's true. What then were these qualifications? What qualities did Mary have? Speculating a little bit, I think that Mary was a bit like her ancestor David, who's mentioned in this passage of Scripture, in that she followed the Lord from a very young age, as David did. We know that some of the extraordinary Psalms of David were written when he was just a teenager, basically looking after sheep on the side of the hill. And they're extraordinary Psalms that still speak what we are feeling in our hearts today. And I think that Mary was like that. She walked closely with the Lord. She must have understood her Scripture, her Old Testament, and especially with regard to the coming of the Messiah. She knew that there was coming a great deliverer, a Messiah, even though she was only 16. And even though, you've got to remember at that time too, that women were pretty downgraded, in the background that she came from. But more important than that, she walked in complete submission to the Almighty God. She understood the Scripture. She understood what they were saying. She understood what to expect. But she herself walked in complete submission to the Almighty God. After this extraordinary revelation, her answer was simply, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Now, it would be easy to conclude, well, what would you do? What would I do if a messenger from God came at night time and said, "This is what you're going to do"? You'd hardly sort of say, no, I don't think so, I'm busy tomorrow, or whatever kind of idea. No, you would be sort of overcome by this extraordinary visitation, and that's true. But just have a look in the Old Testament at some of the people who were actually addressed by messengers or God himself. One who comes to mind very quickly would be Moses. When Moses was spoken to by God and told that he was going to do something quite extraordinary, and he was spoken to out of the burning bush, remember, which must have been quite an experience to suddenly have the voice of God speaking to you from a burning bush, which you'd come to inspect because it looked rather odd. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And a little later on, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" So firstly, he talks about what they would think, and then he tells the Lord what he feels. He said, "Oh Lord, I've never been eloquent, I'm not a good public speaker, Lord. I don't want to go and do this. I've got to go and speak to Pharaoh. And he goes on about that a bit. And he says, well, why don't you send my brother Aaron? He'll do a much better job. He's a much better speaker than me. You should have thought of him in the first place. And then there's that other servant of the Lord, Gideon. And when the angel of the Lord came to him, he said, the angel said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Go in strength and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And am I not sending you? And Gideon says, but Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I'm the least of my family. So, but the Lord then promises, or the messenger from God promises that God will be with him. And then Gideon still asks for a couple of signs. And we find that Moses eventually asks for a sign as well. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because these two men became great men of God. Moses is somebody that we look up to. He was an extraordinary man of God. But when he was firstly confronted by God himself, he made all kinds of excuses. And Gideon was much the same. But yet they became great men of God. Mary too could have said, I come from a humble home, Lord, and I'm getting married to a carpenter. Is he really the sort of suitable to be the father of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? But she just asked, how will this be? How is this possible? Sometimes when God tells us to do things, I guess we do that, don't we? How is this possible? How's it going to be? And since I'm still a virgin, that's a good start. I'm a virgin. How am I going to have this child that you're talking about? And the angel explains in verse 35 and 36, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then as a sign, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. Now, Mary could have replied in a similar way to Gideon or Moses, but by saying, but what will people say? In fact, that's what Phil was saying a little earlier when he said, talking about people to people about the Lord in the streets. What will people say? One of the biggest problems about speaking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ is that I'm terrified. Isn't that right? That's the truth, really. And I know I've done it a number of times, and even though I've done it not just a number of times, many times actually, every time I do it, I'm still scared. I'm still worried. I still think, what will people think of me? And that's exactly what Mary did. She said, what will people say? What will people think of me, Lord? And they'll think I'm immoral. Suddenly I'm having a baby and I'm not yet married. And what will Joseph think? Fortunately, the Lord had sorted that one out because he was going to speak to him as well. But she didn't say any of those things. She just said, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. An extraordinary response and complete submission to the will of the Father, of her Father God. In Matthew chapter 5:5, when Jesus had grown into a man and was involved in ministry already, ministering to the people, says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And meekness is not weakness, but submission. And we've looked at that before when I preached that once before, so I'm not going to go into that. But the word meekness or the word humility or whatever is not talking about weakness, it's talking about submission. And Jesus himself was like that when he grew up. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And the Lord, when he was here upon earth, certainly wasn't weak. And I think he had an extraordinary presence. Anybody who could go in single-handedly and cast out the money changers, all the money changers in the outer courts of the temple kind of thing, must have been, had quite some presence. He certainly wasn't weak, but he was meek because he was submitted to the will of the Father. And we see that later on at the end of his life in Matthew 26 verse 39 when in the garden he says, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Now, the incredible thing about the Lord was he knew what was going to happen to him. We wouldn't have known. We could have suspected, but he knew that he was going to die an excruciating death on the cross of Calvary. And he spent time with the Father and said, if it is possible, if there's any other way, do I have to go through this excruciating death? But not my will, your will. Your will be done, Lord. I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly. And friends, that is what Mary was like. Even at her young age, she was completely submitted to the will of God. And it challenges me, because I know that there have been times in my life where I've truly resisted. The Lord has been telling me to do some things, and I think, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to do that. Have you ever had times like that, where you don't really want to do it, but you know that's what God wants? But Mary wasn't like that. Look at the result in meekness as Jesus speaks about it years later in Matthew chapter 6. He says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. Every despotic leader in history has sought to inherit the earth by brutal force. Isn't that right? And there's plenty around still today doing just that, trying to inherit the earth by brutal force. But the Lord says the meek, those who are submitted to the will of the Father, will be the ones that will inherit the earth. And Mary knew that if it had to be all God, then her trust was completely in him. And she knew that what God wanted was right. What he had told her to do was correct, and she was going to do it. And as a result of that comes this extraordinary word in Mary's prophetic song in verse 46. My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his mighty arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. What an incredible statement from Mary. It is true, Mary is not part of the Godhead. We can't pray to her. That's just a waste of time. But she is an extraordinary woman. She is an extraordinary woman, but she's still just an ordinary woman. But God is able to use ordinary people and help them to do extraordinary things when in fact we are submitted to his perfect will. Many Christians spend their whole lives trying to discover what God really wants them to do. What's the purpose of my life? And some people look at their jobs and say, why have I done this for 40 years? What a waste of time. You know, why didn't I serve the Lord? And they spend their whole time trying to work out what they should do, because they have not said, I am your willing servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary was just that ordinary person with an extraordinary trust in God. And as a result, to her submission and obedience, Jesus, the Son of God, came. And in just a week's time, we're going to celebrate the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not some season for escapism. It's a season for worship and wonder and praise as we recognize that the King of Kings has come. And with Elizabeth, we can say, blessed is Mary amongst women. There is just no doubt about it. And I do trust that as we go into this Christmas, that we will apply what we see in this to ourselves as individuals, not just to our heads, but to our hearts and to our legs, to our actions, as it were. We need to do something in response to what Jesus has done for us. And he uses wonderful young lady that we might be mightily blessed. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Amen.